turn over to page number 139. 139, let's everyone stand and sing together at Calvary. Sing together now.
Years has been in vanity and pride.
Just remain standing. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Larry, would you take us to the Lord in a word of prayer? Amen. You can be seated, church. Choir, remain standing with me. Turn over to page 177. Let's sing a couple of verses of Are You Washed in the Blood? Page 177. All right, sing now.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white and clean? Are you washed in the blood of the
Lamb? All the last, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you seated? Please remember a couple of prayer requests that we had this morning. Miss Ruby Harper, let's continue to remember her in prayer. Also Dawn, as she recovers from her foot surgery that she had on Friday. Please remember Tracy Reese, and we have many other prayer requests. Some were mentioned today in choir practice, some folks going through some very difficult times physically, and we want to lift them up in prayer. Continue to pray for Pastor. And he looks a little stronger this evening. Maybe he got a little bit of rest this afternoon. Also, there was a card that we received this morning from Cassie. Rather than take the time to read that, I'll put it outside on the board, and you can go by and take a look at it. Also, on our website, you can find the other prayer requests and all the announcements for the church. Please make sure you go on and look at that. And again, we welcome our Facebook family tonight and pray the Lord would just continue to be with you and to touch you. We are looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us this evening. Thank you for coming back to the house of the Lord tonight. Let's go to Him again in a word of prayer and ask Him to be with us and to bless the offering. Father, we love You and we praise You. And Lord, how we thank You for the opportunity we've had today to be in Your house. Lord, what a beautiful day You've made for us. Lord, thank You for each one that's able to be back here tonight. Pray for those that might not be able to be here due to sickness and things that are going on. Lord, I pray that You would especially touch them. Lord, I pray that You'd be with the choir as we sing, with our pastor as he brings the message. Touch him. Lord, touch his body. Give him strength. Lord, I pray that he would make a very quick recovery from what he's gone through in the very past few days. And Lord, I pray that you would just again be with him tonight as he speaks. Lord, from your word, I pray that you would, Lord, just fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's someone here today that's never accepted you, may this be the day they'd realize that and come to know you as the Lord of their life. Now bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, Lord. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Pray for the choir tonight. We're going to go back and pick up a song that we haven't done in a little while. It says we need to be anchored to the power of the cross.
Aimlessly floating, spiritually withdrawn, life's winds and waves and rising tides have left you forlorn.
You said your ship can't stand another storm, and the final wave seems near. Just anchor deep to the solid rock. Let the captain handle your fears.
Second countdown. Got my attention. Well, we enjoy the music tonight. Did you enjoy the singing? Say amen.
Amen.
Anchor to the power of the cross.
Yes.
That is our only hope tonight. Yes. And He's the anchor of our souls. And until we see Him face to face, we anchor to Him to get us through this life. All right, just a simple thought for you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's also continue to remember Miss Shauna Bendy. And they may find a diagnosis for her and get her back to feeling better as well. But thank you, Brother Allen, for bringing everybody up to speed with all of our prayer requests and announcements. We appreciate that. Let's see. Mother's Day is this coming Sunday. Am I right? Am I wrong? Okay. I thought I was right. If I was wrong, I was doubly worried about myself. But I've been having a mixture of dates here lately, getting dates right and wrong in my head. I have them right on paper, but I guess trying to juggle so many dates, and it's bound to happen from time to time. So let's remember Mother's Day that's coming up Sunday morning. No Sunday night service. Spend time with your mothers and just to make it a great, great evening. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read verse number 7, then verse number 8, and then we will bring the thought tonight. I have a pretty lengthy introduction and a little message, and so I hope that you'll catch both of them, what I'm trying to say. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, be with us in the next few moments. Help us to get out of the way. And Lord, I pray that you would paint perfectly what's in our hearts. And God, you know our intentions tonight is to be a help and encouragement. Also, Lord, to throw out a challenge, Lord, the same challenges that we're challenged and faced with. Lord, I pray that you'll be honored and glorified through the remainder part of this service, the message time. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Tonight, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, and it's simply this. Finish strong. Finish strong. I don't know exactly when Jesus will come. No one here does. I don't know when He may call me home to heaven. I just don't know that. You don't know that as well. And so the challenge is to just live every day like it's our last day. To finish strong. We never know, again, when Jesus will come. We never know what kind of troubles or war adversities we may face on tomorrow that may be our last day. So again, just finish strong. I think about the school year that's getting ready to wrap up. And we had the privilege and honor last Wednesday to speak at chapel, and I spoke a few words on the topic of finishing strong. And the kids over at Grace, they worked real hard all year long. A lot of kids started out with low grades and brought them up to higher grades. And a lot of middle school drama has been worked out. We're talking about school here, so we know what I mean. And the kids have just come a long way to the end of the school year. And it would be a shame for everything to wreck and crash and end in a negative sense. And so when I spoke to the kids then, I spoke to them about finishing strong. And even our young people here tonight, finish your school year strong. You started out, I don't know how you started out, whether it was in a negative light or a positive light, but finish strong. Finish your school year doing your homework. Finish your school year at school being respectful to your teachers. Finish your school year at school, again, making sure all of your work's turned in and doing your very best, being polite and well-mannered to everyone. And even when you go home, be polite and be well-mannered to everyone. You know, finish the school year strong. Back to the adults and all the rest of us, those watching on Facebook, it is our call and our job and our duty as well to finish strong. I want to say tonight that way too many baseball games have been blown in the ninth inning. Way too many football games have been lost in the fourth quarter. And way too many basketball games have been lost in the fourth quarter. You want to know why that is? It's because all of those teams thought they had the game won. I think about the Braves. My goodness, they lost today. I don't know if the game's still going on, but they were losing 7-2 on my way to church. And I got to thinking, man, they were so ambitious and so pumped up at the first part of this game. And I know yesterday, the same thing. They thought they had it, but then they lost it. So many people in this life, believers in particular, they think they have life. They think they have it under control. And listen, with Jesus in the driver's seat, we do have it under control. But there's times where we kind of are presumptuous about each and every day, aren't we? Oh, it's just another day. We'll tackle this day. Oh, it's just another week. We'll tackle this week. Another month. We'll tackle that month. I believe we grow to be a bit presumptuous with our in and out in our day-to-day living. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll just give it to you. In verse number 12, Paul says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The words "take heed" here means to examine. It means to contemplate. And so as we're in the fourth quarter of this world, we're in the ninth inning of life, let us take heed to our Christian walk. Let us take heed as we are in our journey, wherever that might be. Let us examine exactly what we're doing each and every day. Let us examine or contemplate our alone time with God. How many minutes, how many hours do we give every day to the Lord in prayer and His Word? It could make or break our day according to how much or how less we do give to the Lord. We got to have a strong relationship with Him. We got to stay plugged into Him if we want to make the whole game. Sometimes, at least occasionally, I'll use the term when I'm talking with someone or preaching in a message, keeping all the lines tight. Anybody ever heard that term before? Just keeping the lines tight. Well, it's a fishing term, and the intent is to, when you're going fishing, to keep the line tight. Because when the line's tight, you can feel the tug of the fish. And the problem is, when there's any slack in the line, then that line has the potential of creating a knot in the line, or having a fish on the line and not even knowing it. Say, for example, you're fishing, and there's a lot of slack in the line. And the wind blows, and you can tell there's a lot of slack in the line because the wind is blowing your line, and you see it kind of land on the water, little ripples from the line. And now you have a knot in the line. You go to reel it in, there's a knot. Those knots in that fishing line is almost impossible to get out, especially a bird's nest. Anybody know what a bird's nest is? You have that, what is that, open spool? What is it, Brother Brown, a bait caster or bait caster? I know Brother Brown and Doe. You get that bait caster and you throw it out there, and if your thumb isn't on that line in just the right amount of pressure, it'll backlash and I mean, like a little afro, right? But you know, right there on your line spool, and you try to get that line spool out that bird's nest. It's almost impossible to get that spool out because it's all wrapped in and out. And they call it a bird's nest because it looks like a bird's nest. And so, what do you have to do? You either have to keep on trying to get that bird's nest out. Keep on trying to get that knot out of that line so you can continue fishing, or you have to cut the line. You have to cut the line. And I think that life is too short. Listen, there are times when we have to try and try and try to get the knots out of our life. But there are some times when we're this far in the game where you must just cut the line. Possibly there are some here tonight who have relationships where it's just been a big old knot the whole way through. And I'm not talking about marriage tonight because I'm not for divorce. But what I am saying is maybe some friendly friendships, some school friendships, girlfriend, boyfriend even, even some relationships with electronics, or relationships with, I don't know, some kind of a habit you have, and you're trying to get the knots out of those habits. You're trying to undo those habits, or trying to undo those knots in your relationships. Well, guess what? We're getting toward the end of this thing. Whether we're talking about school in the school year, or whether we're talking about the bigger grand scheme of things, the coming of Jesus, and we don't have a lot of time left. And so instead of fooling around and trying to undo knots that have us all knotted up in our lives, sometimes it's best to just cut the line. Maybe there's someone here tonight that has some knots in their life, and you're wasting energy after energy, mental energy, physical energy. You're trying to restore something that doesn't want restoration. You're trying to hold together something that wants to crumble. You know who you are, and you know what it is in your life that God is paralleling here. Maybe it's time to cut the line. You've tried to keep the line tight for long enough, and it's just not happening. And so my word to all of us tonight is simply this: finish strong. Whatever it takes righteously and biblically and by the principles of God's word, whatever that takes tonight, finish strong. He says in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience that's set before us. Verse number 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, endured the cross and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Tonight, what is it in your life that is spooled up? What is it tonight in your life that has knots in it and you're trying to get unraveled, but it's just not working? I think it's time to lay aside some things. Tonight it's time to cut some lines. Finish strong. There's two things I want to mention out of verse number 7 and one thing out of verse number 8, and we'll be through. Again, the title is Finish Strong. Number one, in verse number 7, I want you to notice we see here a wholehearted effort. A wholehearted effort. Paul says in verse number 7, I have. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Three I haves in this verse. And Paul, with the Holy Ghost bearing witness with himself and with his conscience bearing witness with himself, he knew on the inside of himself that he has given it his everything in his Christian walk. He said, I've given it everything in the fight that I was in. I've given it everything in the course God laid out in front of me. He says, when I wanted to quit, I did not quit. I kept the faith, the embodiment of faith, believing God, believing his call, believing all of the things are embodied in the idea of faith, the embodiment of faith. He says, I have kept the faith. And so we see here that Paul was giving a wholehearted effort. Let me ask you a question tonight. We're getting near the end of this thing, the Lord's return, or our passing, we just don't know. I want to ask you, have you given it your wholehearted effort? Have you given it your wholehearted effort in your Christian life? Have you given it those hours and hours of time of devotion? Have you really developed a prayer life? Have you really given your place of service everything you have? Your conscience will bear witness with you if you haven't or have not. The Holy Ghost will bear witness with you if you have or have not. Have you kept the faith? Now, I know there's times in our Christian journey where we kind of get to places, Brother Richard, where faith and doubt mix. And there's times where our faith is shaken. There's times where our belief wavers. But there's times where we get to places like John. Well, is he the Messiah? Should we look for another? Listen, John, he was in prison. And so certainly there are times in life where we shiver and we shake in our faith life. But there's times also where we overcome that. The faith that we have in the Lord Jesus and being anchored in the power of the cross, we are able to overcome those times of adversity. Or have we just walking away from the Lord? There are some who've walked away from the Lord. The Bible goes on in this same chapter and talks about Demas. Verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There are some who have forsaken the Lord. I don't know because of worldly drawings or worldly pleasure. I don't know if because their favorite pastor isn't pastoring anymore. Their favorite preachers aren't preaching anymore. I don't know whether it's the carnality of the flesh overtaken and this and that. I don't know, but there are a lot who have turned and went the other way. All you have to do is look back in John chapter number 666. The Bible says that many at that time went back and followed him no more. We are definitely seeing a falling away in the faith. We're seeing those who are choosing this world and these worldly goods over a walk of faith with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying tonight, and hear me well, that you could ever walk away from your salvation, because it's not true. You cannot do that, and you know that. You cannot be unsaved. You cannot undo your salvation or walk away from that. You will always be connected to Him. You are always His child, no matter if you try to walk away or not. But He says, I have kept the faith. Have you kept the faith tonight? Is there things and obstacles in your horizon that you know you have to face, that you're discouraged about, you're depressed about even? Well, I just want to implore you tonight, I want to beg you to finish the course. Finish the drill. Finish what God has for you. Many of us, we never knew that God had a future of suffering and pain. Some of you have experienced cancer and death, even of children prematurely, and all of those things, and cancer, and you never knew those things were in front of you, but you kept the faith. God kept you going, and the Lord kept you going and going, and He does have a course for each and every one of us. Again, Paul here says, I have finished my course. Back over in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, he talks about the course that is set before me. Every one of us has a course. Every one of us has a race that God has set before us. And you see, my job is not to try to outrun Brother Jeff in our Christian journey, spiritually. My job is not to try to outdo Brother David in our spiritual journey. I mean, how would you even begin that? You know? If it's a matter of playing the keyboard, he's got me. Brother David does. And so my job is to stay on my course. My job is to lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset me, that is well standing around me, that I give in to so easily. It's my job on my course to lay those things aside. And it's my job on my course to anchor to the power of the cross so that I can run well and run fast and run with my eyes fixed on Him. That's my job. Your job is to run your race. It's not against a brother. It's not against a sister. If your brother or sister is being blessed by God, praise God with them. If your brother or sister is excelling spiritually and they're able to quote verses and say some words behind a podium, sing a song, hey, listen, praise the Lord with them. We're to uplift one another. But tonight, Paul said that, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So my words to you tonight is this. Have you given a wholehearted effort? And listen, let us not complain about anything unless we have given a wholehearted effort. A lot of people like to complain about work and complain about their church, complain about things at home. But also, if you've asked them, have you given everything you have to make it better? Most of them will say, no, I haven't. So Lord, help us tonight, starting with me all the way down to the pews, to those in the very back. give a wholehearted effort. Let me mention something else. Not only a wholehearted effort we see here in finishing strong, but we see a reward that will be experienced. Look at verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So we know that we're talking about a crown here, and we know that this crown can be won by those who love and long for the return of Jesus. But in essence, I want you to get this. Work came first, then came reward, or lack thereof. And so literally we see it's given all that we have until we get to the end. Then comes celebration, or lack thereof. It's given everything now. It's not only getting through the first 8 innings, but it's getting through the 9th inning as well. It's not just getting through 3 quarters, but it's getting through 4 quarters. It's not just starting good, but it's ending good. And then maybe there'll be some celebration. Donald Trump said this at the very beginning of the pandemic. He said, let's work hard on this pandemic, then afterwards, we'll celebrate. Still looking for that celebration, but anyway. Hey, we have reason to celebrate in that to some measure. We've came a long way. We're here worshiping tonight. No one I don't see has a mask on. But Donald Trump said, let's work hard first, then we'll celebrate. So it's all about abiding by the rules from start to finish. It's about being kind and gracious all the way through. It's about getting up every day and getting dressed, adjusting our attitudes. It's all about going to work and doing our very best until the end. That's what it's about. I love what John 13:1 says. I'll give you the very end of it. It says, Jesus, having loved them to the very end. Jesus didn't just love the disciples in the human race 3/4 of the way through the Father's plan, but he did all 4/4 of the Father's plan. Jesus loved his own from the cradle to the cross. Jesus, what would have happened if Jesus stopped loving his disciples halfway through? Well, he loved them to halftime. You know, Peter's a handful walking around denying me. And what if he just stopped loving people in general? What if he got frustrated with the plan and said, you know what, these people, they are spitting on me and they're mocking me and they're pulling my beard and they're trying to bring shame upon me. I abort the mission. I'm out of the mission. I'm done. That wouldn't have meant anything to us because he didn't finish the Father's plan. Redemption would have been falling short. But guess what? Jesus, because of the likes in you and I, he endured the cross. He went through the 1/4, the 2/4, halftime, all the way through to the 3/4, the 4/4. And when he was on the cross of Calvary, he says, it is finished. Yes, and then he was buried. And on the 3rd day, up from the grave he arose, triumphant over his foes. Huh? That's a hee-haw version. He finished. He won. Death has no victory. The very sting of death has been removed. And because of that tonight, we can rejoice. He didn't just love his people to the halftime, but he loved them all the way to the end. Praise the Lord for his unending love. And so I say we need to give it all we have to the very end. Then comes reward. You see, church, tonight it's about painting our way out the door. It's not about painting our way into a corner. A lot of people do well in their Christian journey in the beginning. They do well in midlife, but it's coming down to the end. A lot of pastors have blown their testimonies. A lot of preachers have painted themselves in the corner, spent their whole life painting their way out the door so that when that faithful day came and they said, well, we're retiring and we're moving on, a lot have painted their way into a corner. They blew their testimony, unfaithful with their wives and all kinds of other ugly things that have happened down through the ages of time. Individual Christians have backslid on God, did great their whole life, but because of finances or some kind of family problem, have buckled under the pressure and didn't take their cares and concerns to God and anchor to the power of the cross. They have fallen out and fallen out of the way. And now the Christian statistics are very high of those who make it and those who don't make it. Let not that be us tonight. Let us spend our life painting our way out of the door and not painting ourselves into a corner. Let me ask you a question. What would have happened if Noah got impatient on completing the ark? What would have happened if Noah, the Lord said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. What if Noah would have said, Lord, I just don't know what gopher wood is. And because of that, I'm not going to try. What happened if Noah didn't exercise faith? He got the gopher wood, but what about the pitch? He talked about pitching the ark. Basically, that pitch was a black tar's kind of substance that sealed the cracks. What happened if Noah would have got the gopher wood and started working, but said, you know what, I don't know what this pitch is. I want to skip this step because I'm impatient and I want to move on to the next thing. Fine and dandy until the rains came and that boat was on that water and that ark had not been sealed. What would have happened? Water would have been coming in, filling up the boat slowly, and then eventually that boat would have sank because he didn't follow instructions and he wasn't patient all the way through. Details matter tonight. It matters tonight to walk with the Lord day by day, hand in hand, first in and second in and third in and ninth in and all the way to the conclusion of the ball game. And so thank God that Noah finished his job. Someone put a post out the other day. I can't quote it. It talked about, someone else had told me this before. I think you told me before. Ceylon's not on Facebook, by the way. But talked about how a beginner, a novice built the ark, and pros built the Titanic. But you see what lasted? The ark. And the Titanic sank. How about that? That's food for thought, isn't it? A novice didn't know anything about a boat. Didn't know anything about gopher wood, didn't know anything about pitch, didn't know anything about none of those things, but yet he chose to follow God every step of the way, and because of that, God used him in a great and mighty way. Listen, it don't matter tonight. If you're getting in the ministry and don't know anything about ministry, we all had to start somewhere. The point is just get in the ministry and start. Starting at a new school. Get started at that new school. Don't matter if you don't know anybody or not. Starting a new church, don't matter if you know anybody or not. Anything in life with anything we may do or say. If we follow God's steps and complete those steps, He'll do something great in our life. Noah, he finished that ark. And let me ask you a question. As far as reward, whenever the rains came 40 days, 40 nights, and the world was filling up with rain, with water, the boat was steady on top, everything had been followed, every bit of instruction perfectly, and all those who did not come in the ark, they were all dying and drowning on the outside. One writer said, this is just their speculation, one writer said there was probably scratch marks on the outside of that ark from people wanting to come in, screaming and crying. That's kind of a foreshadow of hell. There's going to be people screaming and crying, wanting to get in to heaven, but it's too late. Noah released, he released a raven. And the Bible says that the raven, or maybe it was a dove first, he released a dove, and the dove came back because it found no place for the sole of his foot to rest. But then he released a raven, and the raven did not come back. And the reason I believe the raven did not come back is because ravens, those kind of birds, are meat eaters. And they lighted upon all those corpses floating in the water. That's just my speculation. The Bible don't say that. But then after many days, he let go of that dove again. And the dove came back, but it came back with an olive branch in its mouth. Because the waters were abated. They were going down. And then the day came where most believe what the Bible says, that the ark rested on Mount Ararat. And let me ask you a question. When Noah stepped off of that ark, him and his family, who else was out there on that land? Nobody. Noah's reward was earth. He was the second first man. Everything had been destroyed. All of those years of hammering and building that ark and preaching God's word, no doubt people scoffed at Noah. Noah, you're a fool building that ark. What is rain? What is a boat? You're wasting your time. And then all those people left side of the ark, and now Noah walks out onto earth. Everything being wiped out, he being the second first man alive, Noah owned everything. And it was his job to replenish the earth. That's Noah's reward. You see, I said all that to say this, that it's always work first, then reward. Y'all hear me, young people? Work first, then reward. And when it comes to the grand scheme of things, Paul said, "For I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And so tonight, the message is just finished strong. Listen, we're in the ninth inning. We only got one more inning to go, or we got this inning to go, and that's it. Jesus is coming. Or we may be going by the way of the grave. You never know. My word tonight, from the youngest in the room to the oldest, is just finish strong. Keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Finish your course. Your course may be different than my course. Cassie's course may be different than Glenda's course. And so it ain't one against the other. It's Cassie against Cassie. It's Glenda against Glenda. Whatever your course is, ask God for grace to finish it. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your many blessings. God, even if we have to army crawl on our course because the pain is too much. Lord, even if we have to army crawl, God, to the finish line, at least we're moving forward, Lord. There may be someone here tonight, maybe someone watching on Facebook that needed to hear this about finishing strong. On foot or on belly, God, tonight we will finish the course you set before us. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.